Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Blessed and highly flavored. Oh, glory. Woohoo. Would you turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 18? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. In verse 18, let's read it together. Little children, is the what? Last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Of course, we know the Antichrist is the unseen realm of the powers of darkness, and they are coming against God's anointed ones. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be manifest, made that none of them were of us. In other words, he was exposing, wasn't he? But you have a what? An anointing from the Holy One, and you what? Okay, so you don't have an excuse. Don't have an excuse. If you've been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, believe me, the Spirit is telling you. He's telling you. We have no excuse. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, he's talking about all things pertaining to God's kingdom, to godly living. In other words, choices that we make, things that we do. He says, you know what to do. I already told you ahead of time. You have no excuse. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will abide in the Son and the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to what? Deceive you. Deceive you. So who's trying to deceive us? The powers of darkness. Are they visible? No. It's the unseen world, isn't it? Verse 27. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just that it has taught you, you will abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. That is a fruit, isn't it? It's born of him. So again, we have no excuse. Has everybody got it? We have no excuse. We know all things. Let me tell you, today I was ministering in the jail. And one of the questions that was brought forth was, after we busted through, was, you knew you were going to end up in jail. Every one of them in my class today knew they were going to end up in jail. They were hoping they weren't, but they knew they were. Because God Almighty, the Spirit of God, told everybody in that class today that if they made that choice, there was that possibility they were going to end up in jail. And let me tell you, he tells every single one of us, everything that we do, what's going to happen. He knows, and we know. But we choose to justify it, we choose to put it under the rug, and we choose to walk in blind faith and hope that we made the right decision. But really not knowing. See, we try to wrestle with God instead of surrender. We try to justify what the decision we want to make because we want to make it according to the way we think, feel, or hope something that will come to be. Instead of them making the decision by the anointing. See, if you make the decision by the anointing, he's backing you. If you make the decision by the flesh, he stepped back from you. And he waits till you call on him again. Remember something, the anointing doesn't serve us. We serve the anointing. He doesn't move in the way you want him to move. He moves the way he wants you to move. We are servants to the anointing. Listen, that's why the word says, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, I did this, I did that, I cast out devils, I laid hands on the sick, I did all of these things. And he says, I don't know you. Depart from me. See, God can use anyone. Never, never determine your relationship by the Lord on being used by God. Never. Oh, God, use me. I must be doing something good. No, he can use a donkey. He can use anybody he wants at any time. He can use a heathen, an unbeliever. He can use anybody. He uses the even Hollywood to make movies. Hello? To bring an impartation of his coming. To bring reverence to him. To let people know that time is coming to an end. He can use anyone and anything, and it's amazing. And how many individuals, just because they get revelation or God uses them, think that they're right with God. God can use anyone. Never be deceived by that. Never. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. So do we have an excuse? No. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Would you read it with me, please? Therefore be what? Imitators of God as dear children. Okay, now wait a minute. Is God visible or invisible? It says be imitators of God. So you know what he wants you to do? Be unseen. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in what? Love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So we must be a sweet-smelling aroma. That aroma is an arena which is lifted to God is how much you deny yourself. But fornication or uncleanliness of covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness or foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one what? Deceive you with what? Empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Now, is the world being deceived right now? Amen. Who are they being deceived by? Powers of darkness, the unseen realm. They're being deceived by who? The powers of darkness, the unseen realm. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Did Jesus expose them? Amen. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in what? Secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. God is visible. He is righteous. He is light. He is truth. He is love. He's the exposer of evil. And he is a warrior of the unseen. Is everybody with me? He is a warrior of the unseen. He is the commander of the unseen army. The unseen warrior. The unseen warrior is one whose war is against the unseen enemy and maintains an unseen status because he or she is cloaked with humility. Are you listening? Because they're cloaked with what? Humility. In other words, how many of y'all know we're in a war? One of the things the enemy tries to do is draw us out of the hidden place. Is everybody with me? See, God hides us. He hides us. I've had many testimonies of being hidden. Even in the natural. You remember, you read about what Jesus did. Remember, he was able to walk through places, wasn't he? And get away and make escape. When the woman of the issue of blood grabbed his robe, she grabbed the robe of righteousness. Because he was cloaked with humility, which expressed righteousness. And God is calling his children to become unseen warriors. It is a strategy that he is establishing, nothing new, but something that the church has fallen away from. They want to be more seen instead of unseen. Is everybody with me? Ephesians 6 in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the what? Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not what? Wrestle against flesh and blood. Those are the things that you see. But against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Is that the spiritual realm? Yes. So what you're fighting is the unseen. We have a wonderful teaching says, and it's called, it's a four, I don't know how many. One, two, three, four. Four teachings in it. It's called Making the Unseen Seen. It's amazing that if you do not make what is unseen to become seen to you, you will be taken captive. You will be set with limitations. And you'll be in bondage all the days of your life. Until you make what is unseen to become seen. That's why God is raising up the unseen warriors right now. More and more and more. Come on, you can go up and talk to a person you've known and they've been saying, yes, I've been saved 30 years. You can hear what comes out of their mouth. You can see what they're doing. It's like, don't they see? No, they don't. How can they see? You must make the choice to make what is unseen to become seen. That's why the devil accesses individuals. That's why he attaches individuals to emotional attachments. They don't even realize it. They struggle. The first thing they want to do is run to the phone instead of the throne. They want to run to things of the world, doctors and everything else, instead of going to the Lord first. You run to the Lord. See, there's a difference of being rescued and victory. You know, when we cried out to the Lord, we got rescued. Then he begins to train us so we know how to battle, so we have victory. And it doesn't mean you won't call out to him anytime. I call him out to him every morning. Show me! Kill me! Fail me! Do what you want! But in this time of season right now, because of everything that's happening, the world is so blinded, it's incredible. And the body of Christ, there's so many that are so blinded, it's incredible. Look how many people voted for the man in office. Look at how many people voted for that man that's in office right now. That's a sure sign that this country is blinded. Blinded, totally blinded and asleep. And that's all they're trying to do right now. The powers of darkness are just trying to put every area in so that people are become dependent on food stamps, dependent on welfare, dependent on the government to provide, dependent on the government to provide jobs, dependent on the government to fix their mortgage, dependent on the, everything is being set up for a slaughter. It's our responsibility. We're the body of Christ. We're the voice from heaven to expose. But you can't expose something you can't see. We are to be warriors of the unseen. You can't be an unseen warrior if you can't see the unseen. It's impossible. That the power might be in us, not our own, but the power of God. Why? He's saying being backed by the anointing, not by the intellectual flesh. The intellectual flesh gets people in trouble all the time. That's nice. You can quote scriptures and all kinds of stuff. But where's your fruit? Where's your obedience? Why aren't you seeing things through? Has everybody got this? See, there's a difference between a warrior and a soldier, and I'll go there later. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. For we are what? Hard-pressed on every side. Yet not crushed, we are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Christ's sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal body. Remember, God wants to be manifested through you. It says be imitators of God, right? So God wants to be what? Manifested in me and you, doesn't he? In verse 11, for we who what? Live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what it is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. Eternal. The power of God in us by coming to the end of our self-existence. By coming to the end of our self-existence, not giving up the battle, but seeing it through, pressing through with the truth. And the truth is the reality that as an unseen warrior, we will make what is unseen to become seen. So you can battle correctly. Many people do not battle correctly because they cannot see what they're battling. Is everybody okay? In other words, you can't call, you can't shoot down a tank if you're shooting at a jet. Hello. It don't work. So if you can't see what you're battling, you're not making what's unseen to become seen. And the way you make what is unseen to become seen is by its fruit. Well, you're struggling. Well, what are you struggling with? Well, I don't know. I'm just struggling. Well, then you just came in agreement that you're struggling. And you don't even know what you're struggling with. Hello. See, when things begin to happen, you must say two things which are very important. And one of them is, who told me that and where did you come from? Who told me that and where did you come from? Making the unseen seen. We are unseen warriors. That means you are warring against an unseen realm, and you are maintaining yourself to be unseen. Is everybody okay? Glory. Let's go to chapter 5 while we're here, in verse 4. Would you read it with me? For we who are in this tent, what? Groan being what? Burden, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Well, the Spirit is the anointing, right? So you know all things. So if you know all things, should you be able to see all things? Amen. Because you're going to know the fruit, aren't you? You're going to know what you're being impressed with, aren't you? You're going to know what decision you're going to make, whether it's of God or not, whether it's out of your own motive, your own purpose, or your self-protection. You're going to know. And if you're truly seeing it all the way through, you're going to see the end result of what you're about to make in that decision. Whoa. Verse 6. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by what? Faith and not by... For we walk by what? Faith. And not by sight. So you must make what is unseen to become seen. Without revealing your strategy to the enemy. Come on, did you get that? Why? You're an unseen warrior. An unseen warrior will make what is unseen to become seen without revealing your strategy to the enemy. He will not know how you're going to attack him. He will not know when you're going to attack him. Do you understand? And he will not know where you're going to attack him. The greatest victory in the battles of war are those who keep themselves unseen and preventing their enemy to know their strategy. Has everybody got it? That's why when you pray in tongues, that strategy and everything is imparted in you. The devil doesn't know what is happening because he can't interpret tongues. Do you understand? But God is imparting it in your spirit. And then the Holy Spirit will quicken you to what to do. That's why we must be instant obedience in that. If we ponder it, we begin to try to determine all of these things and what to do and this and that. The enemy now knows what you're about to do. See, there's a difference in walking in the Spirit or not. And walking in the Spirit is first-time obedience. And in that, you will always have dominion. It doesn't mean you won't go through stuff. It doesn't mean you won't get sick, but you'll go through it. Has everybody got it? You'll go through it. And you'll be victorious. So in this, by walking by faith and not by sight. Again, this is the unseen warrior exposing the enemy in an unseen status. In other words, he can't see you, but you can see him. Is everybody all right? In other words, he doesn't know what you're about to do. That's why when I go to jail, I don't know what I'm doing. I pray in the Spirit. When I get there, he says, do this. Why? Because the enemy isn't ready for what's going to happen. If he's not ready for what's going to happen, he can't already, God's already flowing and the anointing's already going. He's already got them in his presence. And then he speaks to them and the enemy isn't prepared to combat. And there's an impartation and a change. That's why God gave us the gift of tongues. So we pray in the Spirit, and he releases what needs to be done. And if there's first-time obedience, you'll have victory every time. You know, but so many people want to calculate it out. Let's see, maybe if I do this, if I do that, if I do this, if I do that. And the enemy sent in all his warriors, yeah, if he does that, do this. If he does this, do that. Amen? And we're going, man, I don't get it, man. I've been battling for a week. It's because you keep telling the devil what you're going to do. Man, you might as well send him a letter.
Hi, next week I'm going to battle you this way. Yes, but he who is in me is greater than he is in the world.
He says, what an idiot. You know, we start quoting all these scriptures and we already told the devil what we're going to do. Then we wonder why it ain't happening. Because he's prepared. He's ready. Remember, he knows what you think. He can read your mind. So as you're pondering all this stuff, he's over there going, oh yeah, 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 yeah. Look at it. And then he passes it out to all of his other cohorts. And then they're ready for you. Hallelujah. We're supposed to be unseen warriors. Go to Hebrews 11. We walk by faith, not by sight. Now, faith is seen spiritually. Faith is not blind. Faith is seen spiritually. In other words, you're able to see in the Spirit. You're able to determine what's going on. It's amazing. I hear people get upset with the devil. Oh, you slough foot, you horned thing, you tailed this and you did, and I'm going to come after you. Oh, really? How am I going to get you, devil? And I'm going to do this to you, and I'm going to do that to you, and I'm going to do this to you. He says, thank you. That's called fighting in the flesh. And I bind you and I loose you and I do this and I do that and I do that. He's like, we are an idiot. I was ready for all that. Because you told me it. See, but when you're in the Spirit and you are unhidden, you are unseen, you show up anywhere in the Spirit. And then you, surprise, bam! That's why we're to snare them in their own nets while we escape safely. In Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the what? It's the what? Substance. It's something that's substance tangible. Yes. Of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Evidence of things what? I mean, there is evidence that what is not seen is seen. That's called faith. Faith is a substance, tangible, the reality and evidence that what you are influenced by in the unseen realm, you make to be seen. That's faith. Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first. He walked by faith. When Paul and Peter, and then they saw the man, and they said, I see that you have faith. They saw. They were able to see that a man was getting ready to get healed. They were able to see it. Faith is the substance. In other words, you are convinced at all times of the unseen influence in your life. You are convinced that everything that you are influenced by is from the unseen realm. You are 100% convinced that there is an unseen realm that is attempting to influence you. And you are looking for what forces of evil are trying to influence you in your decision, your response, or your reaction. Because see, if it's of the Lord, you're going to respond. If it's of the devil, you're going to react. And so many times we react and we try to justify that's of God. Any reaction is of darkness. God does not react, he responds. The devil reacts. How about fear? Fear, that's a reaction, isn't it? It's an emotional reaction. Did you ever see a cat jump out in front of you at night? It doesn't know what to do sometimes because it's blinded. It's in fear of the lights. See the light. It's got its work, doesn't it? Of course, you try to avoid it because you'd have to clean it all up. But in that, fear. Fear freezes people. It gets them goofy. They react in all kinds of ways. Fear. I mean, people do strange things because of fear or worry or anxiety or anxiousness, stress. I'm stressed out. Don't talk to me right now. Why are you stressed out? Oh, because of this, and this. No, it's none of this, and this. It's you chose to agree with the voice of the devil that says you're stressed out. You know what happened? That person did not make what is unseen to become seen. They're too busy looking at the natural realm, blaming. Oh, that's it, the food overcooked. That's it, I'm going to blow up the refrigerator. I'm never keeping anything cool in this house again. I'm going to blow it, even though the oven burned it. People want to take vengeance on the appliances. It wasn't the appliance, man. It didn't do nothing. Doesn't even have a soul. Hello? People get upset and they go punch holes in the wall. The only thing they did was broke 3 knuckles. And the wall didn't feel a thing. Then they're blaming the wall was in the way. Man, did you see what the wall did to me? 3 broken knuckles. It wasn't the wall. It wasn't anybody or anything. It was you. Because you did not make what is unseen to become seen. And the enemy attacked you. Oh, of course, he set the whole thing up. But if you would have saw it through and prepared and listened, you would have known what was coming. Hello, we know. Now, I'm not saying we don't get attacked, you know, and sometimes there's a surprise thing. But when you blow it, you repent real quick and you get back in line. You don't justify, you don't reason, and you don't blame nobody else. Hallelujah. Galatians 2. The devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. The Bible says make no place for the devil. So he's always trying to make a place, isn't he? Galatians chapter 2 and verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's read it. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And this occurred because of the false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty or freedom, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we did not yield submission. They did not what? So what did they do? They made what was unseen to become what? Seen. In other words, Paul knew it. He saw it. He saw it in the Spirit. He could tell by the fruit what was going on. Even they came in unseen. Stealth. To whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Paul exposed the false brethren. Those that say one thing but do another. Paul was able to discern and expose. Has everybody got it? Nobody likes to be exposed. But it's not the person that's being exposed. You understand that. It's the spirit that's manipulating the person that's being exposed. But so many people get offended when they get exposed. Then they get angry at the person because the person might have said something that exposed them. Now they're angry at the person, but it wasn't the person because they're trying to blame the person. You exposed me. You exposer. Now there's a difference between exposing and accusing. Hello? There's a difference. When you're exposing, you're responding. When you're accusing, you're reacting. Now, I don't hold back if I have to call somebody an idiot. And that just means spiritually blinded. Hello? If that's what it takes to get somebody's attention, you got to do something. Paul was able to discern and expose the false brethren that were coming in to try and bring people into bondage. Revelation 1. Revelation 1 and verse 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, and to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So we see here he calls us to be kings and priests. Amen? In this, a king and a priest is unified in one. In other words, a king represents a warrior. And a priest represents one who ministers to the Lord. And you can never be a warrior until you maintain your priesthood. And we have a teaching called Priests Before Warriors. Has everybody got it? So we are called to be warriors. We are called to be unseen warriors. Because we are warriors of the unseen realm. And we maintain an unseen condition. Or an unseen status. In other words, the enemy can't get you. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 1. Would you read it with me? You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who are able to teach others also. Faithful men. How many of y'all know it's better to be faithful? You know, God is looking for people to be faithful than successful. Because many people are being successful in the wrong assignment. Verse 3. You therefore must what? Endure hardship as a what? Good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Ooh. And also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules or divine requirements. Again, a soldier. He says, there's going to be hardships as a soldier. Now I want to share with you a soldier, between the difference between a soldier and a warrior. A soldier is one who needs to be told what to do. A warrior is one who knows what to do. Are you listening? When you and I come into the kingdom, we come in as a son or daughter. Then we begin to fulfill the first office, which is priesthood. Then we become a soldier, then a warrior. A warrior is able to see things all the way through. A warrior becomes like-minded with his commander, to where the commander doesn't have to tell the warrior what to do. The warrior knows what to do. A commander's got to tell a soldier what to do, but a warrior knows what to do. There's a difference. A warrior is able to discern, and a warrior is able to stay hidden. A warrior knows exactly what the enemy is about to do. A soldier needs to be told what the enemy is going to do. A warrior knows how to wait. A soldier is told he must wait. Is everybody okay? Does everybody get this? And God is raising up the unseen warriors now. And it doesn't mean that we don't get counsel, we don't get direction. Does everybody understand that? But there are certain circumstances that happen in your life that it's just you out there. You and God. Did the apostles have a Bible? No. So if you're trying to fight the devil, you're going to go, hold on, hold on. Let's see, the word says. Mm-mm. That's not a warrior. A warrior knows that he is a walking epistle. A warrior is consistent, faithful, doesn't change. Doesn't change no matter what. Doesn't change, stays consistent. A soldier is working to become a warrior. Has everybody got it? Everything is earned. Trust is earned. A warrior no longer lives for him or herself. It's totally 100% sold out. A soldier will have its up and downs. A warrior is willing to lay down his life or her life. A warrior is not looking for a reputation. Doesn't care. The only purpose is to please the king, is to please his commander. That's what it's about. There's a difference between a soldier and a warrior. Is everybody okay? Go to Philippians 2. Philippians 2 and verse 24. Is everybody there? But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my what? Brother, fellow worker, and what? Fellow soldier. But your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. So we see brother and soldier. Brother and soldier. Fellow worker. Didn't mention warrior. Does everybody see this? He was a brother. He was a soldier. He was a fellow worker. But he was not a warrior. Go to 1 Samuel 16. In verse 7, the Lord told Samuel to go out, anoint him another king. 1 Samuel 16:7. 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. Hello. Not according to human precepts. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So Jesse, who was David's father, called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shema pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made the seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any one of these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest. And there he is, keeping the sheep. Now understand something, that keeping the sheep was not an easy job, because he had to fight off animals. He had to stay awake, learn how to be alert. He was a protector of the flock, and he probably sang them to sleep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. So he sent and brought him, and now he was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day afterward. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, who was the existing king, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said to him, surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp, and it shall be that he will play it with his hand when a distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well. So Saul said to his servants, provide me a man who can play well and bring him to me. Then one of the servants answered and said, look, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is a skillful in playing, and mighty man of valor, a man of what? A man of what? War. Wow. He was a man of war. In other words, he knew how to spiritually warfare, because he was a worshiper. Prudent in speech and handsome person, and the Lord was what? The Lord was what? The Lord was with him. So the anointing made David a warrior. The anointing, your cooperation with the anointing, is what makes you a warrior. Your submission to the anointing is what will make you a warrior. And the anointing tells you all things to come. The anointing teaches you, and you know all things. Your submission to the anointing is what makes you a warrior, a soldier, a priest, or a child. Exodus 15. Exodus 15 and verse 1 through 3. the unseen warrior. How many of y'all want to be an unseen warrior? Praise God. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang the song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed graciously. The horse and its rider, he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a what? Man of war. The Lord is his name. So the Lord was a man of war, wasn't he? Look, go to Revelation 19. Jesus was the greatest unseen warrior. He was not only a warrior, but he was an unseen warrior. And Revelation 19, in verse 11, it says, Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no one knew except himself, and he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in white linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. With it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is a man of war. Now go to 1 Corinthians 2. But he was an unseen warrior too. But everybody's going to see him as a warrior when he returns, isn't he? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are what? Mature. Yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Which none of the rulers of this age knew. For if they had known, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. Why? Because he was a unseen warrior. Remember, many times he said, don't tell them I'm the Christ. You know, Satan didn't really know. He didn't know until Jesus showed up. Or he would have never crucified him. Does everybody got it? Because he was an unseen warrior. But you know what kept him hidden? His mouth. The devil tried to get him to say all kinds of stuff. He tried to get him to react all kinds of times. He wouldn't. Kept him hidden. Jesus stayed hidden because he didn't react out of here. He responded. See, the tongue will always bring you right out of hiding. What you grumbling and complaining, bring you right out of hiding. Cursing and stuff, bring you right out of hiding. Pride, me, myself, and I, bring you right out of hiding. You bleep, beep, 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 beep. Sonar. Antichrist sonar. Knows exactly where you are. He draws you out by what comes out of your mouth. He knows whether you're obedient or not. See, disobedience is a beacon that he can see. He sees it. The enemy knows. He sees. He knows whether you're holding back from God. He knows exactly what you're doing. He can see it. Only righteousness and humility is going to hide you. Anything else, you are wide open to him. Does everybody understand this? Psalm 91. In verse 1 it says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In other words, he is hidden. And I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Surely he will deliver me from my enemies. Why? Because I'm hidden. See, but the enemy wants to draw you out. He wants to draw you out. He doesn't know where you are, but he puts bait out there. He starts shooting blind all of these fiery darts. He tries to set up circumstances to bring you out so you can be seen. Unseen warriors are hidden. Enemy tries to disqualify you by influencing you to react so you can be exposed. He draws you out of the unseen with offense, rejection, fear, lust, rebellion. Oppression is a fruit of rejection. Rejection promotes jealousy, anger, fear, and pride. You know, as children, that's why it's so important, because as children, many times there's abuse or something happens or a child feels rejected instead of loved. And that rejection stays with that child. And it will also bring walls. It brings personal walls in that rejection. And it will bring fear. Now the child's always afraid of being rejected. And it promotes codependency. Because of the individual. That's why there's abusive relationships where the person can't leave because they're afraid to. So they'll stay in that rejection mode all the time. Is everybody okay? And it promotes oppression. And they get so oppressed that they can't depart until help comes. And they put up and put up and put up until help comes. But it is a spirit of rejection. It is a spirit of oppression. It is a spirit of jealousy. It is a spirit of anger. Believe me, in this, that the enemy will come to get fed in this any way he can. In Luke 18, until that individual is freed from that. Now remember, everything that has happened in your life, even though you've gone through deliverance, you've been freed from it, the enemy always wants to reattach you to it. He wants to reattach. So just because you've been, you got delivered from something, you got freed, you got filled with the Spirit, hallelujah, yeah, I'm good. No, no, you're not. Now you're more of a threat. Now you got to be more consistent. The Bible says that our walk is narrow and difficult. Never think that you can bring this new life into the old. God won't allow it. You'll go in it yourself, and He won't go with you. Hallelujah. In Luke 18. Is everybody there? In verse 9. Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. I want to say that again. Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, that's what you call self-righteous, and despised others. He gives this parable. He says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like the other man, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. God, I thank you that I'm not like that person. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I make myself look good. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Religious pride. He was a Pharisee. Loved to expose himself. Hi, I'm Mr. Know-it-all. Hi, I like long prayers. Hi, I want people to see me worship. Hi, let me introduce myself to you. I'm this, 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 and this, and this. Hello. He who exalts himself will be brought to be humbled. The Bible says pride goes before a fall. Ooh. Religious pride brings justification, reason, and compromise. Go to Matthew 6. Pride blames everybody else. Why? Because all of these things blind. Does everybody got it? If the enemy can blind you from seeing spiritually and making what is unseen to become seen, he's got you. He'll manipulate you. You become a puppet for him. In Matthew 6 and verse 4, is everybody there? Oh, let's start at 3. But when you do charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you what? Openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly I say to you, they are idiots. Oh, assuredly I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, you are unseen. Pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Pray in the closet. Unseen worries stay unseen. Again, they don't accuse, but they expose with intercession. Again, a soldier is told what to do, a warrior knows what to do. You know the difference between responding and reacting. You know that the Lord is before you. And when there's something going on in your life, you are looking to expose it. Why? Because you want to see where it's coming from. You don't have to threaten it. Hello. You just take dominion. Has everybody got it? A warrior knows what to do. 1 Samuel 24. Again, a warrior is like-minded with the commander of the Lord's army. 1 Samuel 24. He is the unseen warrior. 1 Samuel 24, is everybody there? Praise God. In verse 1, now it happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistines, this is King Saul, that it was told him, saying, take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to go seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave, and Saul went in to attend to his needs. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. In other words, Saul came right to David, who was chasing him and wanting to kill him. Then a man of David said to him, this is the day which the Lord said you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you. And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe, In other words, he snuck in there because he was unseen. David was an unseen warrior. Now, it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is anointed of the Lord." See, David respected, honored, and reverenced the things that God had done and whom he had chose. I'm telling you, people don't even do that anymore. They speak against dignitaries in any way they want. And they speak things they do not understand. And they wonder why things happen to them. They wonder why. Just because you don't understand something doesn't mean it's not God. So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. David also rose afterward, went out of the cave and called out to Saul, saying, "My lord the king." And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his head, with his face to the earth and bowed down. And David said to Saul, "Why do you listen to the words of men who say, 'Indeed, David seeks your harm'?" In other words, why do individuals listen to the voice of the stranger? "Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you, but my eye spared you." In other words, he saw it all the way through. He realized that he was being influenced by ungodliness. And he said, "No." "And I said, 'I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed.' Even though the anointing left Saul, and Saul had disobeyed God, and God rejected Saul from being king, David still would not do anything to him. Moreover, my father, see, the corner of your robe is in my hand, for in that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you. Know and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand, and I have not sinned against you, yet you hunt my life to take it. Let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you." As a proverb of the ancients says, "Wickedness proceeds from the wicked, but my hand shall not be against you." "After whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom do you pursue? A dead dog? A flea? Therefore let the Lord be judge, and judge between you and me, and see and plead my case, and deliver me out of your hand." So it was when David had finished speaking these words to Saul that Saul said, "Is this your voice, my son David?" And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. Then he said to David, "You are more righteous than I, for you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. And you have shown this day how you have dealt well with me." In other words, David did not react. He responded because he was able to make what is unseen to become seen. "For when the Lord delivered me into your hand, you did not kill me." David discerned the difference of the called of God and the devils of deception. The enemy fell right into his trap because David was an unseen warrior of the old covenant. And we are to be the unseen warriors of the new covenant. And I want to close at Galatians 5. An unseen warrior is one who makes the unseen to become seen and keeps himself in an unseen status. Not self-promoting, but maintaining a cloak of humility. Galatians chapter 5, is everybody there? Everybody okay? Are you getting this? 22, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Not controlling, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in a spirit, let us also walk in a spirit, and let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Let us become surrendered. Let us become trusting. Let us become unseen warriors. It's time. There's a tremendous battle going on. And many people are becoming casualties of war. Because they don't know how to battle. They don't know what they're battling. And are continually reacting instead of responding. That's the difference between a wise virgin and a foolish one. That's the difference between a soldier and a warrior. We know what to do. We carry the anointing. We've been given great things here. We have no excuse. It's all it takes. It's obedience, trust, and surrender. And be pleasing to Him. Not pleasing to yourself, but pleasing to Him. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. We are honored and blessed. And Lord, we ask for Your forgiveness in those areas where we have fallen short in pleasing to You and not fulfilling our position as a warrior. Grant us, Master, the opportunity to earn Your trust, that we may hear You say, "Enter in, my good and faithful servant." And to You, my Father, my Lord and my King, my mentor and my friend, may You be always glorified in every breath I take and everything I do may be pleasing to You. And may You give the thirst and hunger for righteousness to each and every one of us here tonight. The thirst and hunger for righteousness, that we may be pleasing to You. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Be blessed.